Gracefully and Frankly is pain-free thanks to Sierracil All-Natural Joint Formula 14. Did you know September is Arthritis Awareness Month? You did? Good! Well, Sierracil has been clinically proven, not just us saying it, to provide symptomatic relief from osteoarthritis, and it's natural. Try it for yourself today and be sure to look into their solid money-back guarantee.
It's all online, sierracil.com. Sierra like the mountains, S-I-L.com. And don't forget about the 10% discount when you use the code GF.
Welcome to episode 89 of Gracefully and Frankly. She is Lisa Brandt.
She is Aaron Davis, and we both love cheese. Yes,
we do. I'm sorry, we won't be able to park the puns. Lisa's cheese dreams have almost come true. They're locking up the cheese, though, Lisa. You're going to have to be a cat burglar in order to get to the cheese.
This is just so unfair. It's our freedom to access our own cheese that makes this country great. And they're locking up other things, too, that aren't as valuable, but I guess are just as frequently stolen. So we'll talk about that.
Saving a few pennies here and there by accident with Canada Post. Lisa's got the inside scoop.
Would you buy a ticket to attend someone's wedding?
Hell no.
Yeah, hell.
I wouldn't pay to attend mine. Jeez, I've been there. I see how it ends.
And the it list. The list of things that you've done but would never do again.
We're going to wrap up the show with the most inspiring text that we got from somebody who got an idea from our show, and it might be life-changing. But there was another note to us this week about a woman and her envy pillow, and it's pretty special.
It really was. For her 65th birthday in March, and she's just telling us about it now, this lovely woman bought herself an envy pillow. She decided to give herself a treat. So she says, quote, I used your GNF code,
yay,
10% off, and they went out of their way for the pillow to arrive on my birthday. I hoped it would help with the pain in my neck, and let me tell you, it did. I love, love that pillow. It does exactly what everyone says. I've not had a sore neck since receiving it. I love my Envy pillow so much.
Oh.
There was a lot of O's there. So we are thrilled to get that kind of feedback, because we stand behind the Envy pillow, not just because they stand behind us, but because we really love it. Thank you for loving your Envy pillow.
And for letting us keep you company while you convalesced. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we appreciate Envy pillows. 10% off. Use the code GF and go to envypillow.com and get that 10% off. Okay, here we go. Well, as people woke up this week to kids and grandkids going off to school, you'll never guess what I woke up to this morning. But I'm going to make you. Okay.
I have no idea. What? Something to do with the dogs?
Well, that is a reasonable guess. Let me give you a hint. The bed was wet.
You peed.
No. I don't think I'd start the podcast off with that.
I don't know then. I have no idea.
Well, after 37 years of marriage and of being on different varieties of them, our waterbed has finally left the building.
Oh, no.
Yes. We have what's called a motionless waterbed. Trust me, it wasn't always that way. It's motionless because it's baffles. It's long tubes. And usually, you know, if something springs a leak or some, the wonderful thing about waterbeds is that you can always, you know, if you lose a bunch of weight, you can add water. If you gain a bunch of weight, you take some off. It's so eminently adjustable, and it's warm, and it's wonderful.
Right.
And we have been waterbed stands, as the kids say, for our entire marriage. But finally, we packed it in. Rob woke up at about 5 o'clock this morning, and there was, he thought, well, why do I feel like I'm kind of rolling toward the edge? And it turns out that one of the baffles finally sprung a terminal leak. And the bed was wet, and he just said, forget it. It's the second one that's gone in the 10 years that we've had this particular incarnation. So we're growing up. We're going to a grown-up mattress, Lisa. Wah.
Oh, no. There's so many choices. Now what are you going to do?
Well, I know where I'm going to get my sheets. Thankfully, Envy Pillow has them now, too. But the whole thing is that we just loved it, and we already had a king-size bed that's not being used at the house we're trying to sell. So we're going to steal the mattress from there, order another one for when that bed does come to the condo, and away we go. I mean, we can sleep on a normal mattress. We have done that, you know, at hotels and everything else, but it's too bad. We really enjoyed it. And I have to be the outlier here. There cannot be many people who are still waterbed fans.
No, I don't think so. I had one in the 80s when I first moved out into my own apartment. I had a waterbed, but soon gave them up. But they didn't. They weren't the tubes. Like, yours sounds much more sophisticated. Mine was just a big rolling sea in between two pieces of wood.
Yeah, like a bouncy castle for sleeping on kind of thing, depending on your love life. But yeah, dude, so the 70s and 80s are over. We're moving on to the grown-up mattress. Enough about my exciting life.
I'm just so glad it wasn't one of the dogs, though.
I mean, when you wake up to a wet bed, your mind goes right away to the dogs and then to you. Did I have that dream, you know? But no. But you had a dream come true. You actually met a guy who lives with cheese.
Oh, my goodness. His name is Jeff. He is married to Carolyn, who listens to this podcast. And I promised I would see them next time I was in Exeter, and I did on the long weekend. And Jeff, I had no idea, is an inventory control specialist for a cheesemaker. He just counts cheese.
Now, I got to stop and ask about this. Is there a lot of cheese that goes missing, or does cheese wander off in the night? Or are there giant mice?
It's cheese. It's cheese, Erin. Everybody wants the cheese.
Yeah.
They have so many brands and so many customers that somebody has to keep control and make sure everybody's getting what they're supposed to be getting. Plus, they have millions and millions of dollars of inventory. They also have, I found out, a store just for employees where they get their cheese at discount, which makes me want to work there.
What?
I know. It's like a cheese person's dream come true. I asked if I could have a sleepover there, and I only got a kind of an embarrassed laugh. There was no answer as to whether or not it was possible to sleep among the cheese. But it just sounds like the best job, and he loves it. He loves being the cheese counter.
The big cheese.
Yeah, the grand fromage.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are so many bad cheese puns here, Lisa.
It's a really good job.
Oh, like it sounds great. G-R-A-T-E. All right, I'm going to try and stop with the cheese puns. I have to stop you now. We have to stop ourselves. But, I mean, he could literally write the sequel to the book, Who Moved My Cheese?
Yes. You had a cheese incident. I mean, we love cheese. We talk about cheese more than most people would imagine.
Yeah, it's not normal, but this is the time in our lives. Like shrinkflation hit home. I bought one of those big slabs of cheese because it was on sale. I don't buy anything that's not on sale, but I bought one of these big slabs of cheese and I'm cutting it. Yeah, cut the cheese. Way you go. And I noticed it's now only 2 centimeters thick instead of 3 or 4 centimeters thick. This is how they get you. This is the shrinkflation. And I'm cheesed, really.
I guess so. Yeah, it's really annoying that I noticed that for a long time they had those 500 gram blocks and then suddenly they were 400 gram. And what? So now they're even thinner. It's just not right.
So now we're hearing that people are stealing cheese. Trust us, we're not going to just talk about cheese for the entire episode, although we could.
Yeah.
No Frills is now locking up cheese. Did you see that CBC story that the No Frills stores are locking up cheese? You're supposed to ask a cashier for assistance if you want cheese.
Well, it just shows you and I don't steal food.
No.
So we're not up on what kinds of stuff goes walking out the store.
Right.
I do remember one time in London years ago having a guy open his overcoat And he had all sorts of stakes lining both sides.
Wow, you could have seen something worse, I'll tell you what.
That's true. I thought I was going to have to scream, help, help.
Yeah.
But it was no stakes. And they were obviously stolen from some grocery store.
Wow.
So I guess for some people, this is a thing. And I mean, you could stuff a brick of cheese down your trousers without anybody seeing, I guess.
I suppose.
So it would be a high value steal. But I can't imagine. I'd just go to another store.
Yeah. I mean, more and more things are being put behind locks. It was always kind of surprising to see razors because you think, well, who's stealing razors? But then you look at the price of them. But you had an experience with something locked up that absolutely floored us. And we said, let's put that in the files.
I was in Walmart to get something specific. I can't remember what it was that only Walmart had. And while I was walking past the pharmacy, I thought, oh, I should get a bunch of emery boards. And I went over to get the emery boards and they were locked. Like it was a $3 item. They locked them on those prongs that they stack them on, you know,
yeah.
when they have a little hole in the, you know, and they have 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a little lock at the end and you have to go get the cashier
who
goes, ugh.
Yeah.
And then she comes and unlocks it and then you get your $3 emery boards. But I guess, again, shoplifters are just going and grabbing the whole lot of them and taking off. That's all I can imagine. They're not a high value item, but I guess they can turn them around. I don't know. But again, it's just annoying.
Yeah, maybe it's portability, not affordability, portability that makes them a hot item. I can understand like mascaras and things like that that can run you $15, $20. I'm not saying I'm justifying theft. It's not like needing cheese to feed your family or baby formula or something like that. We're not doing the whole the morality of it, but I just don't get emery boards being locked up.
Right. Yeah. What else can you do with an emery board? I haven't figured anything else out. I mean, it's just an emery board. So, you know, we've been sending out pendants to some listeners who have purchased them, and there have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 cent. And I've learned a lot, Erin. I have learned so much. I've learned where I can get cost-effective envelopes. I've learned so many things about this and, you know, made a few mistakes along the way. So I was in the post office one day and I knew that I needed $2.09 stamps for each one of these envelopes to send a pendant.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
So there's a new woman behind the counter and I say to her, I need however many 209s. And she goes, oh, no problem. And then we're yapping. And then she's talking to somebody else. And then she leaves. And then she comes back. And by the time she comes back, I'm not even hardly paying attention. I've told her what I want.
Yeah.
She grabs a whole bunch of the regular 99-cent stamps.
Uh-huh.
And we're yapping. And she rings them up and sells them to me. And I get home. And I'm sticking them on the envelopes. And then I go, wait a minute. These aren't 209s. These are 99s.
Uh-oh.
So then I thought, well, okay, I'll stick two on each and then I'll go back and get whatever I have to get to make it right.
Nobody said there was going to be math. Geez, poor Lisa.
That's right. Especially really difficult math with nines. So
Okay.
So I go back and I say, okay, I have $1.98 on each of these. I know it's supposed to be 209. Can you sell me the stamps? And she says, we don't sell small stamps anymore.
Mm.
And I said, well, what am I going to do? These won't peel back off. They're stuck on. And she said, I'll tell you a secret. Canada Post has a rule that if it's 11 cents or less that you're off on the postage, they just let it go through.
Wow.
And I said, you've got to be kidding me. So I was sending through $1.98. It was supposed to be 209. That's 11 cents they all went through.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Isn't that kooky?
It is.
Yeah. So that was dollars and dollars that I messed up there through no fault of my own. I was not trying to get around paying the full price. So she said, just make sure that you don't put them all in the same mailbox or it's going to look like you're deliberately trying to skirt the issue. So when I was going to Exeter, I stopped in Shedden and threw a few in there. And then I went in Exeter and threw a few in there. And I'm scattering mail all over the place.
It's like you're mailing hostage letters. geez, what is this woman doing?
I know. But they all have my return address on them, so they're legit. But none of them came back.
Wow.
So that's the thing. And I just thought, you know, this is a Crown corporation. They are factoring in a potential 11-cent deficit on everything that goes through. It's just really weird. Anyway, it used to be a dime, and they jacked it up to 11 cents.
Okay. Well, when you consider how they nickel and dime us come tax time, or God forbid you miss out on the math by $1.20, you're going to hear from CRA or whatever they're called now. It's pretty funny that they let that go. But two things. The first one is take a moment in your heart for Lisa, who spends so much time at the post office, she recognizes when someone behind the counter is a new girl.
It's a small town. It's a small, small town.
Yeah. And secondly, you are getting some returns, but it comes in the form of feedback. And we get the Gracefully and Frankly emails because it's gracefullyfrankly@gmail.com. And Lisa and I are always going back and forth. Did you answer this one? Because I haven't answered this one. Well, it's still in the inbox. Well, I meant to BCC you. So
right.
We haven't quite got that down. But people are loving these pendant necklaces, and all kudos and credit go to you. You are the labor here, and you're doing a fantastic job. Look at us. We've become a little business.
Who knew? Who knew? It's really, it's a lot of fun. And you know me, if there's a cop behind me, I think I've got cocaine in my trunk. I mean, I'm one of those people. So,
No, she's just dropping off envelopes randomly. I swear they're not body parts. Jeez.
But when I'm handling somebody else's money, no matter how much it is, I take it extremely seriously. So I just want to make sure everybody got what they were supposed to get. And it's really been a lot of fun, and communicating with all these people. And I've just been thrilled to do it.
So to update, these are heart pendants that are on a leather-like thong and have a G and an F on them, and they're cute as a button. You can see them on our CHFI. Oh, ho, 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 ho. You can see... Wait a minute. That's been 8 years. You can see them on... I'm leaving that in because it shows
you
just
better.
How tortured my mind is. Okay, you can see them on our Gracefully and Frankly Facebook page. Oh my God, Lisa, it never leaves you.
Visit us at 680news.com. Yeah, exactly.
That's right, yeah. Oh, okay. So, okay, back to the necklaces. Are there any more? Because people are going to go, how do I get in on this? Or maybe you're not. That's fine. This isn't what we're here for. But if somebody says, hey, I want a couple of those pendants.
Yeah, there are a few left. What I'm going to do is, if there's enough demand for more, I will get some more in a batch in the future. Because I bought 100. Once 100's taken care of, then we'll get more if people are after them. But I think everybody who wanted one pretty much got them. So,
okay. Well, here's a money-making venture that just is hitting all wrong. Have you heard about this trend of people charging to go to their weddings?
Yeah, I'm not impressed whatsoever. But give us the ins and outs of this, because there is some alleged justification for it, right?
Well, there is. And usually at first blush, you see this story and you go, well, hell no, I'm not paying to go to a wedding. We all know that when you attend a wedding, it kind of is unsaid that the value of the gift you give to the couple getting married should at least be equal to what your plate would cost at the wedding. Have you ever gone by that or heard that, or is that just something I've heard?
Oh, no, I've definitely heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
A bit of a rule.
Yeah.
But now there are people who are inviting guests to their wedding and saying, it's going to cost you $450 for a ticket. And everybody's just going, no, no. But, okay, here's the justification. For example, according to a story in the New York Times, a guy in Houston is charging his guests $450 a ticket to his wedding next year. And guess what? He hasn't heard back from a whole bunch of his 125 wedding guests, but he's already spent $100,000 on the wedding. And that includes deposits for the venue, the DJ, and the photographer. And he's going like, hey, you people will spend that money on a Beyonce ticket. Why won't you spend it on my wedding?
Oh my goodness.
Where do we begin with that?
Yeah, you get to see Beyonce. Not only that, but you have control over what it is that you're going to see. Who knows what he's doing at this wedding? There's a whole bunch of people, I don't want to say a whole generation, but there's segment of society that believes the wedding needs to be a show. And it's about the marriage, not the wedding. I don't understand this. And it's not just practicality, but the rest of it is, like, who are you trying to impress? Like, if someone dreams about their wedding their whole life and it has to be that dream, or it's just not good enough, or that's not the right partner for you. I don't understand it, Erin.
I don't either. And the average cost of a wedding and reception, according to a wedding planning website, last year was $35,000 US. So that's like 52,000 Canadian, which was up $5,000 from the year before. So I guess I get that cost. I can't remember what Lauren's wedding cost. And there are things that I wish we'd done differently, like getting somebody who could get everybody dancing, but everybody just wanted to talk. And you know what? They're all over it. Why shouldn't I be over it? But most guests are really upset by this. I wonder, Lisa, how much it has to do with living in an Instagram, TikTok society now, where if it doesn't get 5,000 hits, it wasn't a success. Is that the whole thing? Put on a show?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, you got to do all the selfies, and we're having a better time than you at my wedding.
Right.
And my wedding's the best wedding, and everybody's talking about my wedding.
Right.
Destination weddings are one thing.
Yes.
If you're expecting people to pay a whole bunch of money to buy a plane ticket to come to your wedding, there's one thing already, and that's quite enough.
It is, and I don't think they should expect a gift after you have flown and paid for your hotel at a destination wedding. Am I out of tune there?
You know, I've never been invited to one.
Ah.
So maybe people know. Maybe people know how I feel. But it seems to be quite enough. I don't understand paying for the privilege of being at your wedding. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, making it a ticket, then suddenly, what are they, wedding master? And now you're in a business relationship with them?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a ticket processing fee?
Yes.
I don't get it.
Well, it is weird that the average cost of attending a wedding is now $600. And they have to be factoring in, well, that's got to be hotel. Right? You've got to pay for your accommodations.
Right.
You got to get an outfit. You got to get a gift. So in that way, it sounds so exorbitant at first. And then you go, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. But here's a couple who were charging people $333 US. So let's say closer to 480 or whatever Canadian. My math is bad. This is why you're handling everything with the necklaces. But what it turns out is the ticket would include a whole day tour going to some of the places in New York City where were significant to their relationship, dinner atop one of New York's most famous buildings, a rapper who was going to perform at the reception. So then you kind of go, okay, so here's the value of my ticket. That one kind of makes sense, but you got to lay that out ahead of time and say, here's what you're going to be getting for the tour bus,
yeah,
for everything you're going to stop and see, and for this steak and lobster dinner atop one World Trade Center. So that's what they were getting for that money.
Well, that sounds like fun, and it sounds like they're putting more thought into it than just saying, come for the privilege of watching us get married and pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
The first of our nephews got married when we were in Italy. Well, apparently it was designed as an engagement party, but they knew all along that it was going to be a surprise wedding, and they were trying to keep it quiet. And I was already sad the engagement party was happening without us, but the wedding happened without us as well. And that's their wedding. I mean, they can do what they want. You know, it was in the backyard. Everybody they loved was there. Nobody would even think of charging a ticket for it. You know, I mean, and it's about the marriage. It's not about the wedding.
And there's a part of me, I'm so sorry, but how much of this money am I going to put out and they're going to be split up in 5 years? You know, as a guest?
That's actually not out of line, I don't think. I remember sitting at one wedding reception and somebody started a pool as to how long the couple was going to stay together.
Oh, no. Which wedding of yours was it?
Oh, you're a funny girl.
Oh. Getting married again may be on your list. Now, everybody's heard of the bucket list. right?
Yeah.
This is a list that rhymes with bucket, but we're going to, can I call it effort instead? The effort list?
Sure. That works for me. Yeah.
Okay. So we were thinking about your effort list, and that's things that people say they are never going to do again. And I would guess for you, of course, getting married, right? That would be on your list.
Oh, absolutely. I'll never get married again, no matter what happens. We're not even going to renew our vows. Nothing like that.
No, we sure are not. I'm not saying no to marriage again. If something happened to Rob, I know I can't be on my own. I can't be trusted. So I won't say never. And I know he's going to hear this and he'll just shrug. Okay. What else have people said they will never do again?
There have been some sad ones, some funny ones, and some totally agree with. Like, for example, I will never again pee in a toilet I see in a dream.
Oh, my God. Lisa, I have that dream so often. And the bathrooms are just horrific. And I think that may be my mind's way of saying, girl, don't go there. So maybe that's what wakes me up. Who hasn't had that dream?
As long as you don't actually use the bathroom in the dream, then you don't wake up with a different kind of wet bed, that's for sure.
Oh, my God, right?
Never drink again. That's one you and I are going to do, or we're working on one day at a time, right?
Yep, not today. Okay.
Right.
What other things have people said?
Never run for transit. That was one I followed in Toronto.
Oh.
So many times somebody would get hurt. They'd fall under the wheels in the winter or whatever. And that was my rule. If I miss something, it was gone. That's fine. I wait for the next one.
Wow.
That's just a safety thing.
There's something on a lot of people's bucket list that I never got. I could never, ever, ever do New Year's Eve in Times Square. Just, again, going back to the bathroom, the fact that there's no place to pee and you're there for like how many hours to wait until the ball drops?
Right. I did the New Year's Eve in Vegas one year and in the Union Square. And it was in the 80s, so it was before Vegas became what Vegas is now.
Yeah.
And my brother threw me over his shoulder at one point and threw me in a taxi. It got so violent.
Oh.
We couldn't even tell if there were guns. There was all this noise, pop, 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 and all this stuff. And next thing you knew, I was in a cab.
Oh, geez.
I went back to the hotel.
Where is Union Square? I don't remember that. And I've been there a few times.
Union Square, if you look into it right now, it is where there's a hotel now.
Oh, okay.
On Tropicana Avenue, yeah.
All right.
It was like Las Vegas's Times Square. Way too rowdy. And yeah, nowhere to pee. But I'm glad I did it once.
Yeah, well, there are things you do when you're younger that you say, oh, God, no, never again. But you know what? We were in Las Vegas for the days after Christmas and before New Year's one year. And 2 or 3 days before New Year's Eve, they stopped serving drinks in actual glasses. You can only get plastic cups for the days leading up to New Year's Eve because I guess they stockpile them and use them as projectiles on New Year's Eve. So,
oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, no glass. And this was at the Bellagio. This wasn't a Holiday Inn trying to save some money in the bathrooms. Okay, New Year's Eve. That's off the table for a lot of people. Just period.
Right. Never get a tattoo again. You have a tattoo now. I have a couple of them, and I would love to get another one, but many people said that they don't want another tattoo.
Huh. That could be that they made a mistake the first time or that it just hurt too much. Who knows?
Yeah.
And other people had foods that they tried and they said never again, like escargot, for example. I happen to like escargot. To each his own, chacun a son goût, as the French would say. They don't care if you don't eat escargot again.
Yeah, there's something about the texture. I can get that.
Yeah. And how about you, Lisa? Besides the things that we've touched upon, what came to mind when you saw that there was an actual effort list?
The first thing that came to mind is still the one I would never do again, and that is never go down the tube slide at Malahat Skywalk in BC that you and Rob and I and Colin went down,
right?
A couple of years ago, and I would never do it again or anything like it.
The Malahat Skywalk is a very gradual and comfortable hike to the top of a wooden tower. It's just beautiful. It's on the Malahat, and it's about a half an hour north of Victoria. I think it's a must-see when you're there, but Lisa, really kind
of... Yes.
You hated the slide. I loved it. I had a great time in it.
Right. The Malahat Skywalk itself, I would do again in a heartbeat. It's just the tube slide thing because of my... mild to moderate claustrophobia, being in an enclosed tube the whole time, the whole 9 seconds on the way down, I screamed because my brain tells me I'm going to get stuck and nobody's going to be able to get me out. But I did it because I didn't want Colin to see me chicken out.
Aww.
And I don't even think he noticed. But that was my thinking, was I don't want to, in front of this, you know, impressionable young kid, I don't want to go, oh, I'm not going to go. I'm a big old chicken. So that's why I did it. But never again.
Yay.
What about you, Erin? Is there one that you would never do again?
They'd all be travel related, Lisa, and it's because I've lived and I've learned you never fly in the day of a cruise departure. Always give yourself a night before. We learned that in Athens when our bags didn't arrive. So fortunately, the next day, they were there. And then there was the time in Venice when we landed and took someone else's luggage to the cruise ship and had to just book it back to the airport. But that kind of explains why we never fly in the day of a cruise departure. And never, ever will I book a flight into town the day or night that I am going to be performing that same day. That happened to me flying to Toronto, getting way late in Edmonton, and then my baggage didn't make it and I didn't have an outfit to go on stage. So these are things you live and you learn and you say never again.
Right.
Can we just say congratulations to a listener who last week heard us talking about the app and meeting up with different people for dinner, and she signed up and she's going to do it because she heard it on Gracefully and Frankly. So congratulations, good luck, and we really want to hear from her how it went.
It's so wonderful, and she posted this on Threads, and I saw that somebody else said, you know, I chickened out of this in my city, but after reading what you wrote, I'm going to do it too.
Yay.
So this is how this spreads, right?
Yeah.
Confidence begat confidence. I love it.
It is fantastic. Please do reach out to us. We love, love, love to hear from you. That really made our week. So thank you.
And thank you to our wonderful sponsors, of course, Envy Pillow and Sierra Sill, for being along with us for this wild ride that we're on.
We'll talk to you again next week for episode 90. I'm Erin Davis.
I'm Lisa Brandt.
Bye.